Today's chapel speaker is Steve Falk, and I believe it was last spring in May?
Actually, February.
Oh, that long already. He and some other people from 2100 went to Bangkok, Thailand to shoot some footage, which I think we'll be seeing at Urbana. And he's going to tell his life story about that trip. Thanks, Steve.
I'm sure most of you have seen the flyers around the building, and I hope that not too many of you came expecting they would be watching cartoons this morning. Sorry to disappoint you, but I do have a story, and hopefully you'll enjoy that. But one of the great privileges that I have is traveling to exotic places, visiting fascinating people, and hearing their stories. And I recognize that as a great privilege, and many times these people let us into their lives in ways that I'm just amazed. And so this is one of those experiences that I kind of want to relate to you this morning that I had last February. And it's one that I've been pondering over for quite a few months now. As I think about what we saw and learned there. And so this morning is just kind of the spilling out of some of those thoughts from the past months about that. I'd like to start with a piece of scripture that comes from Matthew 18. What has happened is that the disciples have had another episode of sibling rivalry. And so we pick it up just as they're asking Jesus the question, who is the greatest? And what they're meaning probably by that is, which of us is the greatest? But in Matthew 18, we read, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, 'I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Now, our culture has gotten very good at determining who is the greatest. We, in a few weeks, will have the winner of yet another World Series. Then there will be the winners of the Super Bowl, the Grand Slam, the America's Cup, the Masters Tournament, the Triple Crown, the Final Four, and the Stanley Cup. When it comes to entertainment, it will be the Tonys, the Emmys, the People's Choice, the Golden Globes, and of course, the Oscars. Not to be left out, Christian performers are also recognized with the Christian Music Awards, the Angel, the Dove Awards, where you will find the best of the blessed. But when Jesus wanted to demonstrate who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he pointed to a little child and said, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, the disciples had been thinking more in terms of one of them. They couldn't decide it themselves, so they wanted Jesus to point that out to them. And certainly, they had learned many things from Jesus, and after all, he had chosen them. It wasn't unreasonable to think that one of them might be chosen and sit at his right hand. How could it be that a child was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, this past year, I met a retired pastor who taught me some great lessons about greatness in the kingdom of heaven. The comparison he used was between mice and elephants. But be careful about jumping to the same conclusions that the disciples did about which one of those is the greatest. Jesus has a way of taking our ideas of greatness and standing them on their head. Last February, Matt, Mike, and I went to Bangkok to do a story that was used to promote Urbana. While we were there, we met a man who is affectionately known as Uncle Sawat. He was raised in a Buddhist home in the western part of Thailand. At the age of 19, he was married. Within the next couple years, he celebrated the birth of a child, but then also grieved the death of both that child and his wife. He returned to the family that he was raised in, and when his father died, he began to care for his siblings. At age 26, he noticed some white spots on his skin. When the spots spread to his face and turned black, he knew that he had leprosy. As is the custom in that part of the world, he left the family and friends and survived on his own for the next 15 years. He took up carpentry and furniture making and made tables and cabinets to make a living. He moved to Bangkok, where there was a community of lepers, and built his own house. Eventually, the disease worsened to the point where he could no longer care for himself, and he went to a leprosy hospital in Bangkok. While he was there, one of the other patients in the hospital told him about his faith in Jesus. Being a Buddhist, Uncle Sawat was not particularly interested in Christianity, but he was interested in a friendship. Through the friendship, he learned more about the love of God, and eventually he too put his faith in Jesus. He met some missionaries and the mission, and got involved in the work of the mission, and eventually became an elder or overseer of the work there in Bangkok. During this time, he was taking theological education by extension, and the friend who had introduced him to Jesus and Uncle Sawat completed their seminary education. Then Uncle Sawat sensed that God was leading him to start a church in the leper community. And so at age 57, he began to build a church, and with the help of the people in that community, finished this church in 57 days. He pastored that church until he was 72. Now he is 83, and his body has been devastated by the disease. As we sat in the house he had built, listening to him tell his story, we were moved and humbled. The presence of God was tangible. Uncle Sawat's heart overflowed with joy and thankfulness. For several years, there's been an annual global urban trek in Bangkok, and Janet Singletary has led those, and she got to know Uncle Sawat and asked if students from the project might be able to live in his home. It has now become one of the favorite places for the students that go to Bangkok to stay. Uncle Sawat spoke fondly of his experience of having students stay with his wife and him in their home. In his own words, the team had to prepare themselves to come and be with lepers like us, to be with people who are unattractive and what most people consider below them. It shows the true love of God for them to come here and to be with us. It's not just for a day, but to actually come and sleep on our floors and to eat our food and to be with us even though we really have nothing to offer but ourselves. And that's all they really wanted. Whenever Uncle Sawat talks about his experience with students, it reminds him of an old proverb about a mouse and an elephant. He refers to himself as a mouse. To him, what he can do seems so small. He is blind, he can't walk, he has very little money, and because he is a leper, he is ostracized, separated from family, friends, and society. He has no power, no privilege, and no access. The students who come from the other side of the world, They are the elephants. They have the money that it takes to travel across the world. They have their health, youth, and strength. And beyond these physical capabilities, they also have privilege, opportunity, and access. The question Uncle Sawat asked them is, what are you going to do with all that you have? Jessica Osborne, who was on the Global Urban Trek in 2008, said, one man we met in the leprosy community shared with us a Thai saying, the thinnest elephant is still stronger than the fattest mouse. He meant that we as educated Americans will always have more power and privilege to affect change than a large portion of the world. And after he said that, I felt like he was counting on me. Uncle Sawat's analogy is certainly accurate when it comes to money, power, and privilege. And it is a fair and very sobering question to ask, what are we doing with what we have? But when it comes to greatness, that's where the analogies seem to turn on its head for me. You see, when I listened to him telling his story, I felt I was in the presence of greatness as Jesus had described it. It wasn't pity I was feeling for him. Rather, I found myself wanting something he had. From a human standpoint, Uncle Sawat's story is very tragic. He has nothing that we equate with greatness. Health, wealth, strength, physical attractiveness, influence, position, power, or even a list of accomplishments. But since he has none of these things, neither has he been distracted by them or tempted to take credit for any of those things. Uncle Sawat knows that what he does have is only as a result of God's grace and mercy. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let those who boast, boast in the Lord. Before we left his home, Uncle Sawat said he wanted to sing a song for us. It's a favorite of his, and it's hymn number 13 of the Thai hymnal found in the church that he built. As Uncle Sawat sang How Great Thou Art for us in his 83-year-old quavering Thai voice, there were several North American elephants in the room with him. I couldn't help but notice that some of them had a tear in their eye.
Thank you, Steve. And I'm sure any of the three guys that were there would probably want to tell you more stories from Bangkok if you care to ask them. Are there any introductions or announcements to share today?